very end of The Mandalorian.
Oh, we're just jumping right in.
Let me hit the record button. Let me hit the record button.
Have you not hit the record button yet?
No, I was waiting for Pat to stop talking to his wife.
I feel that
you should take charge. You are the host.
Yeah.
The last episode of The Mandalorian was specifically made for me because there's that like 30 seconds at the end of the episode where our buddy comedy collection just comes tearing down, and the Mandalorian, Pedro Pascal, like, gives a very nice gesture of like, are you guys fucking shitting me right now? Because, I mean, we have a 2-episode build up for the first time in the series where they all come together as a crew and they accomplish something, and then the Mandalorian is like, all right, guys, let's go and figure out the backstory of this little green thing. And both of his cohorts are like, yeah, no, I think we're just going to stay here. And he cocks his head, and he's like, are you fucking shitting me right now? Like, what's going on with you? And then it's almost as if the dialogue with the bounty hunter boss guy is like, yeah, we would come with you, but the constraints of the show only allow us to show up one episode at a time, so you're going to meet new guys next time. And now we're going to do more bounties here.
Yeah, so there you go. First off, welcome everyone to another exciting episode, Richard, of the League of Mediocre Gentlemen. Hey, don't Jesus me, Patrick wanted to get into that intro.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a special episode. Again, we're going to be talking Star Wars, specifically Mandalorian and the Rise of Skywalker. And as you can tell, we're starting with Mandalorian. So, yeah, I would say that the ending was a little rushed-ish at the end.
I didn't feel that way.
The very last, like the last,
I don't think it was rushed.
The last 2 minutes, it felt like everyone all of a sudden was just like, we really need to force these people somehow to go back into bounty hunting and leave the Mandalorian, and that's like a massive, like just a complete 180 flip from.
But they didn't need to do that. Like, they didn't need to do that at all.
No, they didn't.
Doesn't happen there.
Why would they even want to stay on this planet, knowing that the Imperial knows that they're there?
Mm-hmm.
The Empire isn't the centralized organization anymore. So maybe they're counting on the fact that that band of warlord, you know, controlled stormtroopers was all there is that's interested in this the child.
Right. I don't know. I just thought I felt like at the very, very I want to say I loved the episode, but I thought the very, uh-huh, very end, it was really like they didn't know what else to do with resolution for the other two people, and they just sort of said, we're just gonna push them into this corner. And the dialogue just felt like it was like a massive sprint to get them into that little corner and then away from the Mandalorian.
So I've never seen a show of any kind, sci-fi, Star Wars, drama, whatever. I've never seen a show that is more averse to traditional character building as The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Because it's like every time they even like give you that little carrot of like, here it comes, this is going to be great, we're gonna explain things, we're going to build upon these people that we have. And it's like the State Farm commercial. He's like, oh, you're close, there's a dollar, you're close, gotta go get it.
Yeah. And I blame the weird episodes that like didn't do anything for the plot or for the Mandalorian. The weird, I think it was like episode, was it 4 to 6? Those three episodes? 4, 5, 6.
And episode 2, let's just be honest.
No,
I liked episode 2.
Episode 2 was fine because it was in the, it was like crammed between the middle, and it still felt like it was part of the whole like keep the kids safe and like moving things along. It didn't do a lot for the plot, but at least it felt like it had a place there. 4, 5, and 6 had no place, and it just felt like these were random little like blips that were trying to actively ignore the plot of what Mandalorian was about, which was this Baby Yoda.
All I'm saying is that if they made, like, without literally any editing at all, if they made The Mandalorian into a miniseries, a 3-episode miniseries of episode 1, 7, and 8.
Episodes is a miniseries.
No, but this is just season 1.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Like, if they just made it a 3-episode miniseries of 1, 7, and 8, we would all be going out satisfied.
Yes, 100%.
I disagree. I think that's oversimplifying it, but
elaborate.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I thought there was good things in 2. I know you didn't like 2, but I thought episode 3 also was kind of important.
Yeah.
So I think 4, 5, and 6 had weaknesses, particularly episodes 4 and 5, particularly those two for me.
Well, 6 didn't help either. That was God, 6 was bad. Ian, 6 was so bad.
I thought 6 was, like, I guess I liked it because there was some interesting cinematography and it was a little more fun. But
I mean, so was the, 5 technically in the same, not 5 was awful. Fun, but like it did just as much for the plot and it was just as much of this wonky little adventure. And it was
I'm not saying there was any point to it. I'm just saying if you're going to have a diversion filler episode, at least 6 was more fun than 5.
I mean, do you want the bootleg version of Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad? Is that...
No, that's, again, I'm not...
Because that's what we got in 6.
I'm talking about, like, I thought 5 was borderline unwatchable. Like, that's how much I didn't like it. So anyway, regardless, I'm kind of trying to come at this from a wider lens. I think you could very much tell the problem episodes were the ones that weren't produced, written, directed by either Jon Favreau or Taika Waititi. I think,
is that how you pronounce his name?
I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce his name. Okay. So he...
Isn't Favreau, that like what the Jawas say in New Hope?
I have no fucking idea. That's, no, that's
like when they're running away.
You're thinking of Hootini!
Hootini!
So those two clearly know what they're doing and they're very good at what they do, but they handed over directorial and some writing credits in the middle episodes to other writers. Like one of the episodes in the middle was directed by that woman from Jurassic World.
Oh,
like, and I think you can very obviously tell the quality difference between them. So I think it reflects more on they need to pick better people if Favreau and YTD, they're busy. They can't write and direct all of these episodes because they have so many projects because they're so in demand now. But if you're going to pick other people to helm your content, you got to do a better job than what they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope. Agreed. Like Game of Thrones got away with this very easily because they had quality writers doing it when they did separate
episodes. They'll have like a bazillion episodes.
That too. But like, also they were basing it off of a book that was well written already. But like, you can't just throw in these weird writers that... Man, Jurassic World, I didn't know she was the one... That was the one... Come on. Like, especially considering this is a show that, like, Disney is, like, in no, like, exaggeration, kind of holding, like, hoping that this is the thing to keep Star Wars, like kind of pull Star Wars into this new era that is a little bit more respectable than how their first 2 sequel movies have been... Like, you kind of have to take this seriously, guys.
Well, so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, was how this juxtaposes with the sequel trilogy and where Star Wars goes from here. Because I don't think you can talk about the Mandalorian. Like, we can talk about the Mandalorian and, like, whether we liked it or whether we didn't. But I think the more interesting discussion is not in a vacuum and how it relates to the rest of Disney's creative content. So, because it's very different than the movies, and it is building a different sort of world. I like the world building it's doing. Yes, I don't know. Thankfully. It's did the Mandalorian sort of, did it save Star Wars? Is that hyperbole?
That's hyperbole.
Yeah, I think "save" is a strong word, but I think it finally took Star Wars off of life support. In a good way, not like you're pulling the plug, but like it finally like it feels like Star Wars has a chance again. Like people might give it a chance to try again.
Because remember, my argument was always that you can't do anything new with Star Wars; that it's too small and too tightly wound.
I think that's what this is. At the very least, it proved that yes,
kind of disproves it, right? Because these are all new characters,
and it's not a big overarching story. And it's not a big world. It's not another goddamn.
It's a story that exists blowing up story. In this world. Right. So I guess this was sort of the tester that proved my theory wrong, which is that you can't really do anything else with Star Wars. And so they
have Baby Yoda. Can.
That's the thing also, is would this show have been as successful without essentially the Groot stand-in?
I think so. This is.
I don't think so.
This is similar. Like, it's the same story. I mean, not to boil it down, but it's the same story as like Last of Us or what was it, The Road or something with it's like the parental figure and the young like begotten child that the parental figure has to get from A to B. It's the same tried and true story that a billion different places have done before. I don't think you needed a baby Yoda to do it. Any cute little baby thing, person or whatever, or child would have worked just as well if they had, you know, framed it that way. It's just that, you know, they took an opportunity of baby Yoda or Yoda in general. We don't know the race. We don't know what planet they're from. We don't know much of them at all. And they were like, great. So that means there's a very blank slate here. Let's use that.
Well, and the idea here, I'm going to agree with you and disagree with you at the same time. Not agree to disagree, but like just to agree and add on to what you said. Because I feel that I agree with everything you said about that character and that trope. But I feel that using Baby Yoda is a unique opportunity that they jumped on with to get the non-Star Wars crowd who likes cute cat videos and the Star Wars crowd who are rabid for more answers to deep questions at the same time. And so, I mean, that's why you go on social media now, you see all the memes with Baby Yoda drinking from his cup, you know, in that episode at the village. It's like, it's something that could only be accomplished, I feel, with Baby Yoda. Because if they did Rando Child, then it wouldn't have inspired the diehards as much.
There are a lot of like very, very casual Star Wars fans that only watch these episodes to see Baby Yoda. Like my wife is one of them. She loves the show pretty exclusively because Baby Yoda's in it. And she, every time he's on the screen, she's like, oh. So
there are people making dumb jokes like if someone didn't like the newest Star Wars, like, oh, it's because there's not enough Baby Yoda in it, isn't it? And it's just like, great, you guys saw Mandalorian.
But there's Babu!
Babu!
Babu Frick.
Oh, man. But so, like, to round out to Ian's overarching point that he wanted to talk about, I actually don't think this is going to connect at all. Because, like, there's a 30-year gap between Mandalorian and Force Awakens. Like,
that's not really what I meant. Like, I was more just that the Mandalorian, it established that you can tell other stories that aren't wound around the Skywalkers in this universe.
And have to be clear, what story have we told through 8 episodes?
All right, I mean, granted, it's a very, very basic story of, like, Western character has to take care of child in a cruel world. Like, but this is, I guess I'm just saying there can be content that people are engaged with that doesn't have to do with Vader or Luke, which hasn't been the case up until now. Every single Star Wars film and every single Star Wars piece of creative content that's seen wide success, with the exception of, I guess, video games, has connected to Vader and Luke. And even the video games have only been successful. The ones that don't center around Vader and Luke have centered around the Jedi. And this, while it does have a Force user in it, like it's a child. Like, it's not the same. There is no Jedi in this. The Jedi are barely mentioned, and a lot of people don't even believe they exist, which I think was a really good way to do this.
Right.
I really liked that because it really showed we only ever see things in Star Wars typically from the perspective of people who matter and the people like who really matter. And the people who really matter know about Vader. They know about Luke. But we forget that most of the underlings like thought that this was like they'd have been completely wiped from memory by the Emperor, and most people thought that it was myth. And so like I think that's well done that they did it that way, and it sort of shows good world building in that sense. I thought it was, they did a nice slow drip, they didn't saturate it with that. I thought, you know, Favreau should be commended for that much.
I think I agree with you. It's kind of weird how this is going the same direction. I agree with you, but I think that they haven't actually accomplished that yet. I think they've set a nice groundwork for it. And if season 2 becomes like a lot of narrative and extrapolation about Mr. Darksaber Dude, and like, and maybe some expansion on Mandalorian, then I think that they will have 100% accomplished what you said.
It does but seem I, like it's the Mandalorian's lore and background is going to play a center stage in the story going forward.
Oh, I hope so.
I mean, right. I think that the tease of the Darksaber kind of seals it. Mm-hmm. So, which okay. I'm guessing, Patrick, you had to look that up.
I did. Because at first I was like, what the hell? So first I was like, what the hell is that? Is that a lightsaber? But it doesn't really look like a lightsaber. And then I looked it up and I read all about it. So,
gotcha. I thought that was a really nice throw-in tease by, I'm supposed that Dave Filoni was behind that because he did a lot of Clone Wars and he did Rebels. So, which the Darksaber played a significant role in Rebels. Mm-hmm. So, I'm guessing that was his idea to tie that in, and I thought it was well done as a tease. So, and interesting, it helps to tie into the Mandalorian's lore. So,
it's also really nice that Disney has at least shown a penchant for integrating things that they have non-canonized over the years.
I mean, Rebels is canon, as far as I understand. Okay. Yeah, Clone Wars and Rebels is canon.
Gotcha.
I mean, yeah. So doesn't this whole season kind of feel like a prologue?
Yes.
A little bit.
It feels like if they really wanted to, they could have done the entire season in one episode. Maybe an episode and a half.
So I guess we're not going to see more Mandalorian until 2020. The Obi-Wan series, probably not until 2021. The Cassian Andor series that no one cares about, also probably not until 2021. So,
there's going to be. What about the Lando Calrissian random black girl series?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. I'd watch that.
I definitely think they teased her as his daughter because apparently, and really? I didn't know this, I didn't know this. Apparently, Lando's daughter was kidnapped by the First Order when she was very, very young. So,
Where?
Really?
I guess this was in one of the books or something. I don't know.
Oh, god damn it.
So
they released a bunch of supplemental material to The Rise of Skywalker. And there's like just a ton of information in that material that you don't get in the movie.
Yeah. So should we transition to this film?
Yeah. I mean, if we got anything else to say about Mandalorian, I'm sure it's just going
to
be
really. Well, that's the thing, is you can't really. To me, this whole. I'm very interested to see what everyone thinks about the state of Star Wars.
Before we get to Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, with all the movies, we're not going to. Or all the TV shows, like a Obi-Wan and a Cassian or whatever. Do you think it's time that I can unsubscribe from Disney Plus and then wait for those shows?
Well, in February, Clone Wars Season 7 will be on it. So, I thought you were a big fan of the Clone Wars, Richard.
I loved the animated ones that was done by the same guy that did Samurai Jack. The original two-season animated cartoon one. I did not like the Clone Wars animation, which is really confusing to say because they're both technically animated, but you know what I mean when I say the animation of, like, with the girl, the one alien girl, what's her name?
Ahsoka.
I was not a big fan of this, and my big reason for all, like, how much I didn't like this was how, like, goofy. Like, it almost sets up the Disney, like, goofy style that they're going to do in Star Wars later on in this weird, bizarre. Like, I understand this is very much geared for children, but, like, it felt like they did a lot of bizarre goofiness that I didn't think was necessary, and then they wouldn't stop retconning things. And
okay, I didn't want to talk about the Clone Wars, so I guess if you don't want to
watch Darth Maul is still alive for some goddamn reason.
If you don't want to watch the Clone Wars, then yes, you can unsubscribe from Disney Plus, because Marvel isn't releasing the very first Marvel project that's going to come out on it is Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and that at the earliest is not coming until fall of next year or this year.
What about the Black Widow one?
That's a movie
that's coming out in
the show. I'm sorry yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, Disney didn't really plan this rollout very well, because there's a huge gap.
They did the very beginning. I thought this was smart to do it weekly.
Yeah, but now, if you're not interested in Clone Wars, then you're not going to see another show that's Star Wars or Marvel until the fall.
Right.
True. You guys don't understand the economics of this. Like, it's been widely documented the only reason that Netflix makes money is because they had The Office.
Well, if that's
the only reason Disney Plus is going to make money is because they have The Simpsons. And that's why I'm going to keep it.
I think that you vastly overestimate the number of people who still watch The Simpsons.
I think you underestimate it, and I think it's probably not like The Office pulls, I would say, but I think that The Simpsons, the older episodes,
Disney Plus will continue to thrive because Disney Plus will continue to thrive because families are going to keep subscribed to it so that their children can watch Frozen for 100 times
or The Jungle Book. The bare necessity.
Oh my god.
Okay, yeah, let's move on to the actual movie, guys. Patrick, you just saw this last night, right? So you've got a pretty fresh
take
of this. Do you
want me to go first?
Well, let's go around and say, out of 10, where do we all score this movie? With 10 being the best and 1 being the worst. Pat, you can go first.
I'm standing pat after my my initial thoughts last night, which I texted you guys, somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
Pretty good. Ian?
6.
I'm also about in a 7, so.
Okay. So yeah. We're pretty close. Yeah, I think Ian's the most down on the movie, which surprised me a little bit.
Me too, but I think I don't think it's that far away from the way Ian talks about it. It doesn't sound like...
I don't hate this movie.
Yeah, sounds like he's pretty close to a 7 as well, but also it's in that weird... Like, 6 seems right for what Ian's probably going to say, but I think, like, you know, it's not, it's
I don't think
not
like any a bad of us, 6. I don't think any of us hate this movie. I also don't think any of us love this movie.
Yes, it was good, not great. Pat, I'll let you go first since you have the... Well, we can kind of go from backwards of time, yeah, since you saw it most recently. And right. I'll go, and then Ian will go.
Okay, so I loved the movie. I really did.
Sorry, listeners, we just lied to you. None of us... We said that earlier, none of us loved this movie.
Oh, sorry. But no, I really did. And I'll be a little bit polite. Maybe, and say that I feel like I liked it as much. It's on the same level as Return of the Jedi for me.
Okay.
And that's fairly big praise for me because, like, it gets into the old movie territory, which obviously it's kind of a tier system. Anyway, I went in, and this is a movie. Can't just be sitting with first impressions, because the first 20 minutes of the movie was hot garbage. Was like literally the worst thing that has ever happened in the face of the earth. Everything up until like right after the first Lando cameo, which was eye-rollingly nauseous. I was just like, what is going on? The pacing is so weird. Like, it's so fast. Like, nothing's being explained at all. Like, there's no narrative progression literally at all. It's like I'm watching a clip show YouTube video for the first 20 minutes.
Yep.
Then from there, it completely shifts gear in both style, narration, and just overall scope. And it becomes an absolutely excellent movie. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said between 7 and 8, because I really did enjoy it a lot. With that said, I do have 3 main complaints about this movie. Okay. And I'm not going to go into all these right now because I want you guys to go around the table and talk too. The first one is from a guy who's not super huge into like all the backstories of Star Wars. I'm not the lore junkie, as everybody knows. I really feel like the Force has become a bastardized concept where like now all of a sudden we can... have force bubbles that make you have a spacesuit in space, you know, like Leia did in the other movie, and like now Rey can like touch a snake or a person and bring them back from the dead because she's now Jesus, like, you know, and like all this stuff that just really goes immensely above and beyond what the Force was in any of the other movies, and it worked okay, but it was really campy. And it was just like, what are you guys doing here? Like, is this really necessary? Second thing that bothered the shit out of me is that they spent literally an hour and a half trying to do this super sappy narrative about how your name doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter that she's Rey Palpatine, like, it's not what's in your blood is one of the quotes in the movie. It's like, you know, what you do with it or whatever they said. Like, and so blah, da, 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 da. And then in the very last scene, they completely destroy that. Like, just took it out in front of the walker and just rolled over it. Back and forth, because apparently she's Rey Skywalker now, and it just bothered the ever-living shit.
I think it was
me.
More that she like could choose.
I don't disagree with Pat, but like, sorry, I'm cutting you off, Ian. Go for it.
No, I mean, I think it could have been handled better. I feel like that's going to be my entire review of this film. Is I see what you were going for, but it could have been handled better.
Yes.
And then just real quick, the third thing, just to give my third brownie point, is that it was very clearly a Disney movie, and I am greatly bothered. I talked to Richard about this last night on the stream. I am greatly bothered that in a Disney movie, and also in a lot of movies nowadays, nobody ever dies. Like, it would have been an excellent plot progression if Rey killed Chewie.
Yeah, I think that would have been a very big focal point to her having to deal with the massive amount of power she apparently has.
Yeah, but they're never going to do that because...
But they can do it to Han, Leia, and Luke. No problem.
That's completely different because Rey is your protagonist. She's your good guy. And there are little girls all over the country dressing up like Rey, and you can't have her kill Chewbacca.
Yeah, but like, it's by accident, and she would feel bad. Like, the idea is you have consequences.
But no, I agree with Patrick. Yeah. But I also think they wouldn't have done that even back when Lucas was in charge.
Oh, no, you know, certainly. This would have been set up completely.
Well, but it would have been
a great thing. No, I agree with you, Pat. Yeah. Like, it would have been, like, there should have been, or at least, like, let it breathe. Holy shit. Like what? It was 2 minutes after she supposedly killed Chewie that we found out, nope, he's fine. Everyone calm your tits. Like, that's the thing. I think they pictured little kids running for the exits because Rey just killed Chewie, and they're like, we gotta show that he's okay, like, inside 90 seconds, or mothers are gonna rise up and, like, boycott our film.
Yeah, no.
Right, but... Well, and so, but I don't want it to just be as simple as Chewie, like, that was the low-hanging fruit, but the bigger thing is how, like,
Finn is
the dead Force people
are
not dead. Like, in all of the other movies, yes, you see, like, the Force ghosts and stuff, and they talk to the characters and all that, but, like, it's like Ben Kenobi in Luke's head, you know, use the Force, Luke, like, just kind of giving him some advice, not like now dead Luke Skywalker giving Rey a tour of his family home, you know, like,
I disagree.
What the fuck was that?
I disagree. Return of the Jedi had Obi-Wan doing the same thing on Dagobah, where he just comes out and is just like, well, from a certain point of view speech.
I also agree with Pat here because there was always the implication in the original films that that stuff was in Luke's head.
Right.
I assumed that it was just a Force ghost thing.
Well, remember at the end of Return of the Jedi, Luke can see the Force ghosts on Endor after the Death Star is destroyed, but no one else can. So it's like Leia looks and she doesn't see anything. So
training as a Jedi. At this point.
But I mean that's the thing. But now you have Yoda blowing up a tree.
Yeah.
And you've got Luke catching a lightsaber. And it's sort of everything in this movie was let's take the original stuff and push it just a little too far, just a little too campy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
so that's my opinions and my three problems.
Well, all right, then this is a good segue into one of my biggest nitpicks. The movie played extremely fast and loose with the Force. Like, I understand the idea that Rey is, now that we know that it's this goddamn Palpatine theory, that's the one that the internet was vying for, that she's gonna have more Force than everyone else and blah, blah, blah. But, like, the idea of, the Force ghost having such a strong, like, presence now, as opposed to just walking around, or, as Ian said, being figments of imagination, was always kind of, like, an odd thing, that Yoda could just burn the tree down somehow, that Luke could, like, toss a lightsaber or catch a lightsaber or whatever. But also, now that we're teleporting things from back to forth, like Rey and Kylo have, like, their statues from a room now flipping from one to another. They're them fighting in between, like, somehow. It was just odd. I was like my mom was watching with this with me, and she's like, "Wait, I don't understand what's happening." And I go, "Yeah, they're playing really, really fast and loose with the rules here. I don't know what's happening anymore."
See, that I feel like that was the only thing I really did like, because I liked the bridging of Kylo and Rey in Last Jedi, and I liked what they did with it in this. I thought it was kind of creative that they were like connected in that way, because I felt like it was more spiritual than video gamey. Like, I like when they expand the Force in a way that feels more like it was originally, which is that it's spiritual, yeah, and almost right, pseudo-religious, and like having this connection between two beings who are somehow connected through this like spiritual Force connection, I thought was cool. I did not think it was particularly spiritual when Palpatine Force lightnings an entire fleet of ships.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's the stuff I'm talking about, where like when Richard, you're talking about playing fast and loose with the Force, I think there's a difference between creativity and just like video gamey.
I agree. Like, so with Palpatine's thing, it's just like they just added a multiplier to something that already existed. So like we all knew he could shoot lightning beforehand, but now they times it by like 11, and they said like, "Now, how about he do this?" Even though this is clearly Palpatine on like death's door still, like barely alive, and somehow he's able to do more power than when he was alive. Like, I don't, like, that's the big question when you see these kind of big showy things. You start to wonder, well, why didn't he do this earlier? But my issue is that, like, Patrick might have a problem with the Jesus healing, but I thought that of the stuff, that new stuff to come in, that was my favorite, because, like, for the love of God, the good side had no fun, cool-looking Force stuff. Everyone could Force push, which seemed like a neutral stuff, but, like, what, like, the bad guys had the cool lightning. What the hell did the good guys have? What was the point of being on the light side, other than, you know, being on the light side for being a good guy, if, like, there's no fun Force powers? And so having...
God, Richard, you sound like you're 12.
I know, but, like, that's the thing.
Like, you literally sound
like... But isn't that the whole point of, like, the Force is this fun, creative thing? Like, it's fun to have a better, like, if you keep going to light side, and, like, isn't it cool to have another, like, a different version, the other side of what, like, lightning is obviously destructive. Wouldn't it be better or nice to have something else that the good side has that it specializes in, as opposed to that? That's my only point. And yes, it might sound like a 12-year-old asking for, like, more toys for Christmas, but, like, at the very least, it felt like, finally, something else that the good guys can use that the bad guys might not have access to.
I don't know. I don't view the Force that way. Like, to me, the Force is always what Yoda explains to Luke that the Force is in on Dagobah. Right. It's like, you know, that when he asks, like, is the dark side stronger? And when you look at being able to choke someone out, when you look at being able to, like, Force lightning someone, it's easy to, Luke thought, it's easy to think, like, is the dark side stronger? And Yoda's like, no, it's quicker, it's easier, it's more seductive. So, like, going and putting, you know, flashy powers for the good guys kind of undermines that. It's discipline over, you know, the shiny object in front of a cat.
But is healing really that flashy of a power? It's just a small little thing there.
I'm just saying your point.
It's the quintessential good guy power.
I'm saying your point that we want more powers for the good guys is undermined by Yoda saying to Luke that it's not about that. You know, it's that, you know, that it might look like the good side is weaker, but it isn't. It just requires the walk of discipline.
I don't see why they can't be the same. Why they're exclusive. Like, why can't healing be just like a discipline thing?
I don't have a problem with the healing so much.
It sounds like you do, because it...
No,
it
I don't. Like... I don't... I'm saying I have a problem with your point that, like, when we regard 10-year-old's Reddit comment saying, well, we should have... If Palpatine can do this, like, we should be able to do this.
It's not... It's not that. It's like, yes, if you phrase it like that. But my problem is, like, it just feels like the if you're on the Jedi side, it's extremely the same. Like, it feels very, like, samey of everyone had. Like, there's no... What does the peak of a Jedi look like in terms of, Like, it's just a nice visual to show, like, hey, if you go to the good side, this is the kind of stuff you can expect to see if you really go all in versus...
See, but you're missing the point again. The whole point...
is not to show it, I know, discipline, blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, that's not even it. Like, when the whole point and what made Empire so great was Luke went to Dagobah looking for a Jedi Master, and he expected to see someone that was a prototypical warrior. And when he comes across this old, like, wrinkled, decrepit green thing in the swamp, he didn't believe that Yoda could be a Jedi Master because it jarred with his preconceived notion of what a great warrior was. And Yoda juxtaposed with that belief, and it taught us that the Force is not about your abilities, it's not about what you look like, it's about your connection to it. And like your ability to set your ego aside and make moral choices and deepen your connection to living things. So like, I think you're missing the point.
So all great masters need to look like a decrepit old thing in order to show us that the book, don't judge a book by its cover lesson?
That's not what I'm saying, but you don't judge a Jedi by how flashy his finishing move is, because this isn't Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Listen, I like the fact
I see what Ian's saying.
I like the fact, I understand what you're saying, Ian, but I like the fact that there is another option in imagination to be in this world.
I don't see it as
a Jesus thing. I see it as a nice extra thing that you can do if you were to go to the other side.
Well, that's really, and I the more that Ian talked about it, the more I'm on the inside with this. Like, that's the whole point of the Star Wars of yesteryear, because like if you wanted to seek out power and use the Force like to your will and stuff like that, that's all of the things that the Jedi are trying to stop.
Then what?
Like, that's accepting the dark side.
For if they're not using it to, because they're using it for justice and good. Like, they are still using it.
No, they're not.
I'm not, again, like, I want to say, reiterate for like the third time, I don't have a problem with Force healing. I have a problem with your point that the Jedi need to have flashier moves to show what the pinnacle of a Jedi can be. That's how you get lightsaber Yoda in Attack of the Clones. The whole thing I liked about Yoda was that he never used a light, and I liked it about the Emperor too, is that they never used lightsabers. I always felt that the lightsaber was beneath them. Like, there was they had risen, but everyone expected to have Yoda, the greatest Jedi to ever live, to show off his like next level lightsaber fighting abilities, and that's how you get spinny, whirling dervish Yoda in Attack of the Clones. And like, that's kind of what I'm feeling that you're making, the point you're making here. And that's, I thought Force healing was fine. I disagree with your point that they need these things.
It's not a need, I guess, but more of like, it's something that I've wanted a balance on for a while. Like, this comes from a very video gamey perspective, I know, but like, it always felt like, if you're writing fanfic or if you're reading books on this, there's only so far you can take being a good side. And I know the idea is you're not supposed to show it, but like, in the beginning, before the fight with the whirling Yoda, it was a very good moment of Yoda caught Force lightning by his bare hand, and you're like, yes, I kind of expected him to be able to do something like this. And that's, like, yes, that's, I guess, like, monumental, but it's not super flashy. It's just like, Force lightning, boom, Yoda caught it. Like, I just would have liked something in a similar subtle moment of, okay, yeah, if you keep going on with this Force and believing in it and all this stuff, like, this is the pinnacle. And so that's... Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but I want my cake and I want to eat it too.
Well, let's move on to your other...
So, yeah. I got another topic we can move on to.
Can I get my nitpicks out?
Oh, yeah. We really need to...
Yeah, I know. We really went all in on that one.
We got sidetracked.
So the other big nitpick, and it's not... And none of these are things that I think, like, ruined the movie for me. They're just little things that eventually kept it away from the top, like, 10 out of 10. But, like, the Dunkirk moment at the end, I kind of wished they had peppered that in a little bit more. Not, like, following... Like, God, I would not want them to follow Lando around as he went to rally troops. But, like, I wish, like, as they were going from planet to planet, you had heard, like, maybe rumblings of, like, yeah, we got, like, 10 or 15 ships that we'd love to help out, but it's only 10 or 15 ships. And then they went to the next planet, and you hear a similar story, and you're like, kind of planting in this idea that, like, hey, everyone's waiting and ready to go fight this First Order, but nobody thinks the other people are going to be in on it. And I wish that that was something they had kind of, like, just planted seeds in along the way, so that way when Lando comes back in with this ragtag group of British people all in their fishing boats, that I would have liked to have been like, yes, obviously,
you know,
this was awesome.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
It kind of reminds me of season 7 of Game of Thrones, when Jon's going to the Northern trying to get them to pledge fealty to retake the North.
Yes. Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that.
Very much. But yeah, that's just, I mean, it's...
I think this shows that Richard's favorite movie is actually Rocky, and he does not feel fulfilled in a movie without a training montage.
Didn't say it needed to be a training montage. Like I said, I don't want to follow Lando this. I wanted, as they were going from planet to planet.
It did feel sudden and forced. I think... Richard, do you have any other Richard, do you have any other comments about this? Can I get mine out real quick?
The biggest one is I didn't like the Palpatine thing. I kind of hated the theory when it first came up onto the online, because people, and you know what's going to be worse is that person's going to think he was right all along. But, like, he points to, like, Rey's lightsaber technique, which he does this weird upward jab, and it's like, see, it's the same as the Emperor, because apparently lightsaber styles are hereditary. And it just felt like a forced into the end there, and I just kind of wished, like, they had done something else, or at the very least, like Pat says, at the end of the second movie, everyone was talking about how Rey was a nobody and stuff, and like, just go, if you're gonna do that, then fine, just go all in on that. And then they like went back on that idea twice in this movie, and I'm a little just disappointed that they sort of decided to take the easy way out with this.
Richard, you know what's even worse?
What?
Like, with that nitpick, and I don't know if you know about this. So, what's even worse, it's not just that your, like, a crazy fan theory that you didn't approve of turned out to be right. It's that Disney decided to do the great reveal of it being right in a special event of Fortnite 2 weeks prior to the release of the film.
Did they?
Yeah, because Palpatine's broadcast in full was like the final scene in the Fortnite Star Wars special.
I don't play Fortnite, so this is going right away.
I don't play Fortnite either, but I saw the news. So we don't hear the broadcast at all in the film because it was broadcast in Fortnite.
Oh, that's so gay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's my nitpick. I mean, I've got other ones, but they're not really nitpicks. It's more of, like, there's missed opportunities. So, but go ahead, Ian. What were you going to say?
I mean, I'm not going to drone on quite so much, even though I could. partially because my voice is not.
That was a low jab
right
at you,
now.
Richard.
That's fine. Just letting you. Sorry. Hey, you know what? I opened up apparently some wounds when I tried to rebuttal the Jesus healing.
All right,
so.
Fine. It's hard to view this film in a vacuum because, I mean, how can you? They're structured as a trilogy. And I think this film for me was frustrating because I saw a lot of what JJ was trying to do. And I kept thinking, wow, this would be really great if they had set it up in The Last Jedi.
Yes.
And they didn't. It was so sudden, and this movie was so packed with like two movies worth of plot, and it was so, it moved at such a breakneck pace, even more than regular J.J. Abrams movies. J.J. Abrams movies are frenetic to the point of, like, I almost wonder if he's afraid to linger on any one scene so that you actually think about it too much. So it was frustrating because they walked back a lot of The Last Jedi, which to me, like, was frustrating because it meant that they didn't have any artistic integrity.
Yeah.
You know, I get it, whatever, the fan backlash, it's a business, fine. But to me, it shows that there's no one at the helm. There's no Kevin Feige here. The Marvel Universe, Kevin Feige, the Russo brothers, all of them, they make individual films in this universe that some of them are good and some of them are not as good, but he always had a plan for where this was going. You know, and everything was always, you could tell an interesting story in that universe, but then it would all sort of reach the apex of what his creative vision was at the end. And that's how we get Infinity War and Endgame. Right. Here, they had different directors, and they were supposed to have three different writer directors, They didn't. They ended up bringing JJ back. But it was obvious that Kathleen Kennedy did not have a creative vision for where she wanted this to end up. And then she didn't say, this is kind of where we want this to go. Tell your stories in these three films, but end up here. That was not what happened at all. They didn't. There was no vision at all. They were just like, let's put it together as we go. So Rise of Skywalker to me was, there was a lot in it that I liked. I think Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver carried the film.
Oh, they carried it hard. I thought
they were so good. Adam Driver particularly, he is a phenomenal actor. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff now. Yep. I really liked him.
He won me over.
Whereas someone, yeah, they did. He was well written. I thought they were great. The stuff I didn't like was mostly stuff that drew me out of it, which is plot, which is frustrating. Like, they never explained how Palpatine survived.
Nope.
And it's completely brushed over. And to me, like, that's a thing you need to know, because the entire original trilogy of films, the apex of that is Vader's decision to kill Palpatine to save his son. You are now undermining that sacrifice by bringing Palpatine back. You have to say how it happened.
Yep.
That's important. Now,
basically, when they tried, they almost tried to brush it under the rug by, like, a rebel or a resistance soldier throwing out the idea. The resistance guy said,
well, they had cloning technology and dark science. But it definitely
doesn't look like he's cloned, because it looks like he's missing body parts.
He's missing fingers. Yeah. So why would you clone yourself into a rotten, decrepit body? That doesn't make any sense. So I like the idea that Palpatine, I thought it was fine if he's the overarching villain pulling the strings the whole way. Like, the idea that he created Snoke, that he was pulling the strings in the First Order, you know, that works. He's been pulling the strings throughout this entire saga of films. But you should have, that should have been the end of Last Jedi.
Yeah.
It should have been the reveal that Palpatine was pulling the strings. That would have been so much more satisfying. So now you also have a fleet of 1,000 Star Destroyers in the unknown regions, Death Star lasers strapped to their undersides.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, this is where, when you have enough plot points that don't make sense and they compound on each other to the point where the movie breaks my immersion. And when the Star Destroyer destroyed that planet, I audibly groaned in the theater. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I literally said that out loud. I was like, we're doing this again. And not only are we doing this again, but we're doing it again times 1,000.
Yep.
Which makes me wonder, if Palpatine is pulling the strings behind the First Order, why did he hollow out a planet to build Starkiller Base when he had the ability to strap Death Star lasers to 1,000 Star Destroyers? It makes no sense. And it's the thing, like, I get that this is space fantasy. It doesn't all make sense, but we're talking about just base level stuff.
Yeah.
Just like, plot. Where do these people come from in the middle of these Star Destroyers were under the ice on this planet?
Just
like
chilling.
1,000 of them
just chilling,
fully staffed. Like, who made these? There's like, where did they come from? Like,
the First Order was harvesting children.
It's probably all. But
the First Order didn't know that this was going on.
Yeah, this is
Palpatine sends this message out to the First Order too. The First Order had no idea.
This is probably remnants of whatever Sith Empire is back in the Outer Rim or whatever the.
And this is the thing. I'm not saying that there isn't an explanation. Yeah, like, see, that's the thing, Richard.
Yeah, I know.
That is a satisfactory explanation that is never said.
Yep. I agree. I'm basically filling in gaps with my own actual knowledge rather than anything that the movie gave me.
We are asked to assume too many things that we are not told. The movie just moves at a breakneck pace. They don't linger on anything too long because they don't want to think about how it doesn't make any sense. The reveal that Rey is a Palpatine, I felt like was awkwardly done.
Yep.
It was just randomly set.
I don't know about that.
I thought it was really awkwardly done.
I thought the reveal was pretty good.
The problem is it wasn't built up properly.
Like you said, Pat, like, they were very committed to this "your name doesn't matter" story, and then they said, "Hey, now, by the way, you're the most powerful. You're the heir of the most powerful Sith of our time, and congrats."
And all right, I don't want to linger too much on that, but this movie was good, but it also made me kind of sad because I already talked about Palpatine force lightning an entire fleet, and like, I groaned at that too. But at the end of the film, when I left the theater, I felt a sense of relief, not a sense of satisfaction. I was relieved that these movies are over because I was like, because at the end of it, I'm like, well, what more do you do? Because like Palpatine, like he's essentially God, and like he, all this stuff that happened was
which
just
makes
so
Ray Jesus.
And I was like, you know, I had no desire to see another film with any of these people.
Yep,
and I was like, I was like, I'm glad that we're done because now we can move on. So, and like, I could go on and on about more stuff, but I think that was my main problem, was that just, they walked back. There was no artistic integrity. None.
Yeah. Like, if you wanted to, like, honestly, you could tell somebody Luke dies in The Last Jedi, and then you would never have to see The Last Jedi in order to understand what this movie's about.
And like, so Rose Tico,
yep.
I get that a lot of people didn't like her character. I didn't predict her character either. She was written poorly.
Yes.
But
she
they,
had potential,
the whole...
though. She had a really cool potential with her sister arc, and they kind of didn't
Well, but
do
that's the thing is,
it.
So they completely abandoned her as a character. They almost completely write her out of the film.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, I get it. It's a business, but if you don't have the gumption to stand by your artist, there are two quotes I kind of just want to close on with my thoughts.
Okay.
One was from Werner Herzog, who plays, of course, one of the bad guys.
Oh,
in
I know.
Mandal-
what this one. Yeah, this is a brilliant quote.
where he was filming his first scene with Baby Yoda, and Jon Favreau, they complete the scene and they have the puppet, and he takes it away. He's like, okay, we need to do it again. Why? He's like, well, we need to do it again without the puppet in case it looks bad. We're going to do CGI. And Herzog was like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, have the courage of your convictions. Like, you believe in the puppet. You think that that's the way to go. Then do it. Don't half-ass it.
Yeah, he called them cowards.
He called them cowards. Yeah. And like only Werner Herzog can do that because he's been around forever and he's great.
Yeah.
But he have the courage of your convictions. And the other thing was, and this is oddly enough because a lot of people hate Last Jedi, Rian Johnson did an interview. And I'm dying. Rian Johnson did an interview where someone asked him if he thought that people were going to get tired of Star Wars films. And Johnson said, he's like, well, if the reason people are going to see these movies is just to see lightsabers and to see cool force stuff and CGI space battles, then yes, eventually they will get tired of it. But if people are looking to see original stories told in this universe with the potential of exploring new ideas, then it'll never get old. And people could be seeing these forever. So, you know, I think when I left Rise of Skywalker, I did not feel rejuvenated by Star Wars. I felt tired. And I think that's kind of telling because it was like, all right, like I felt like I just saw a corporate product. And that made me sad.
All right, so I'm going to have to butt in here for a second.
Go for it, Pat. It's been a while.
Ian, you are absolutely everything that's wrong with the Star Wars community. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's here we go.
That seems harsh. But go, I want to hear your reasoning.
So, like, I'm trying to organize my thoughts properly, and I mean... You know that I don't mean that.
You got to bring
like I'm just exaggerating for the.
I assume that everything that comes out of your mind is absolutely.
Oh, see the
exactly.
Ian cut off there because we knew it was going to be rubbish.
Yeah. So the idea here is with entertainment, especially as I've gotten older, I feel that there's a really fine line here and a suspension of belief, and I feel that also that. The reason why I liked this movie so much is because the last time that I took in Star Wars was, well, I watched New Hope the other day, and then yesterday I watched half of The Last Jedi, okay? But like prior to that, I watched Solo like a year ago, and then prior to that, I watched Last Jedi, okay? And yes, I might have watched one or two things in the span of those 2 years, but... Star Wars is not something that I live and breathe, okay? This is not one of my topics. And therefore, like, I can believe in Palpatine and be fine with that, and enjoy that entire narrative without being kind of turned off, which I did, because I really don't give a shit. Like, and something I do know more about than Star Wars, so like with Star Trek, like Star Trek becomes an awful series when you start talking about how the layout of the command deck on the Enterprise doesn't make any sense, because if that console connected to that thruster system, then it should be on the other end of the room, and it's a completely narrative-breaking experience that Will Riker's standing on this side of the room and yelling at Geordi from the other. Like, that's ridiculous.
That is not at all a good comparison.
Like, no, but it is, because like it's just bringing logical fantasy like into something that you just need to get over.
There is a big difference between like, oh, this character died and they're not dead now and we're never going to tell you why.
Yeah.
And then, oh, this console shouldn't connect to this. That's not even remotely the same.
We
need to have basic plot progression and actual like the story in the movie to actually function correctly. When you're missing pieces like this, it doesn't matter how deep of a fandom you are, you're missing things and you're pulled out from said story.
This is why the Transformers movies suck, because they never make any sense.
You're like, I don't think you guys are really doing apples to apples, though, because like, so we have in screen time the same amount essentially of time in this Skywalker saga, like the three movies, the new ones. What do we call it? The Skywalker saga?
Them the sequel trilogy so far.
The sequel trilogy. So time. Like, so yeah, so we essentially have the same amount of screen for the sequel trilogy as we do with 8 episodes of The Mandalorian. And if we're comparing narrative progression, which Ian, when we were talking about The Mandalorian, he was praising that type of progression and how he felt that the series kind of like moved forward a little bit. Like, we literally had more progression in the first half of The Force Awakens than we did in 8 episodes of The Mandalorian.
But The Mandalorian made sense.
Yeah, it was at least
there was never.
I don't see how this doesn't make sense. Like,
how did Palpatine come back to life?
Why does it matter?
Because we blew. Not only did he get like thrown off a like extremely high height, he was blown up in a Death Star, a huge, massive explosion that like could destroy the entire moon.
I guess this depends on your expectations when you see a film, and like, and it's any film. If I go see any film and a main character dies, and then all of a sudden they're not dead, I want to know why. That's any film I see. It doesn't have to be Star Wars. If your expectations are lower because it's Star Wars, that's fine. Like, I'm not telling anybody how to view a film. You can view a film with whatever expectations you go into. Like, I do that too. When I go see Deadpool, I don't go in with the same expectations that I do when I see, like, you know, Black Swan or whatever else. But if I go into a movie and I want it to make sense on a basic level, then that's how I want the movie. That's my expectation when I see the film. If it's not yours, then fine.
I think that we just fundamentally disagree on the definition of basic level. So like, so for example, like, and we can even stay in the Star Wars universe. Like, if something that's actually happened, like, the Solo movie, which all of you guys hated, had Darth Maul at the end, and that obviously had no explanation at all. And I don't think we're going to get any follow-up to that at this point, but it was supposed to be kind of a lead-up. Like, well, yes, it was kind of weird, and it was like, okay, so this direction again. It didn't bother me that we didn't have another hour or an hour lead-up of explanation as to why Darth Maul wasn't dead. Like in Mandalorian,
at least
in that,
there's an explanation in canon.
Yeah, it's not a great one though. If you watch the Clone Wars, you'll know that he does.
Well, and I'm not defending Solo because I felt that was a completely pointless scene just meant for fan service. So, like, I don't care about that scene either.
Yeah, if
so.
Anything, that scene kind of yes, I will have issues with it because of the retconniness of bringing Darth Maul back. But that scene also ruins the character of the his girlfriend's name. Who, like, basically, like, the idea is she was being corrupted by this world, and instead it's just like, oh, it's not just that, it's actually she's having, like, a person she has to answer to as well still.
I think my point is that Star Wars always played it straight. Like, that's what made it good. is the original film, every actor that was on it, including Mark Hamill, has said multiple times that they were like, he read the script and he was like, he showed it to his friends. He was like, look at this nonsense. This is the stupidest thing I've ever read. But they played it straight. George Lucas directed them to play it straight. Alec Guinness brought and the what's his face that played Tarkin, like they were respected actors who brought respectability to the screenplay, because when they were on screen, they played it straight. It wasn't a comedy. You didn't have a General Hux character hamming it up. You didn't like have, you didn't have ridiculous plot threads that didn't make any sense. Everything made sense in their universe. That's why it was successful. When you have a movie that all of a sudden decides that the plot elements making sense doesn't matter,
that's how you end up.
Like, that's how you end up with, in my opinion, lower grade trash. The Marvel movies play it straight. They make sense. Whenever a character dies or comes back, they say why.
Or if they don't, like, that's why. But there's another thing with the Marvel movies is that you almost expect it to be campy and goofy because they're comic books. Like, you intended it. Like, yes, they still make sense. I'm not going to devalue that. But, like, if they weren't, if they started to go off the rails, it's kind of expected because they are, in fact, based on comic book movies, and that's the tone that often are in comic book movies. You can't apply the same logic to a Star Wars movie that has operated on a different wavelength this whole time.
Well, that was going to be my next point. The problem, I think, that is with that tone is that the Marvel movies made so much money. And that it's essentially impossible nowadays to have this type of movie without it having like funny jokes in it. Like if you compare sci-fi fantasy movies from like the late 90s, early 2000s with sci-fi fantasy movies from the 10s, like you have serious ones back in the day,
Blade Runner,
and even more lighthearted ones that aren't just like campy jokes like comic book movies have.
Baseballs.
So like, so I mean, that's a big deal. But I really do take great exception to how blind you guys are, because if one of your points is that at least comic books make sense when they do crazy things, that is like the biggest load of bullshit ever.
No, but that's
they have to make sense in their own universe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the tonally,
and the rules they lay out.
They stick to
them. I mean, so like the whole like Sith cultist thing where the Sith cultists go and save Palpatine and then nurse him back to health, you guys don't buy that?
We don't know.
They never said that. You're making it up.
No, that's in the Star Wars visual dictionary. I'm reading it right now.
That's not in the movie, though.
That's not in the movie.
This is the same argument I have with World of Warcraft, and when we get to a new expansion, that all of a sudden they expected me to read a bazillion comic books and a novel in order to connect the last expansion to this one. It should not be a scavenger hunt for me to figure out the basic plot of the movie and what makes sense.
Richard and I have always said this, that if it doesn't exist in that content that you're viewing, then it doesn't exist for the purposes of the narrative.
If you have to rely on a separate piece of, like, extra media or whatever in order to make your plot make sense, you've failed as a storyteller.
I mean, I buy that. It's just that you guys understand why why it happens this way. Because
I know exactly why. You're right. Business.
Because like if it didn't happen this way, then like with Destiny is another good example of that. God, Destiny. But if it didn't happen that way, then we would be talking through this movie saying about how it was one of the greatest movies of the year. It filled all the voids and everything like that, and then we wouldn't talk about Star Wars again for another year. Like, and that doesn't sell a lot of stuff. So, I have, like, two more points. Do we have enough time for me to make two more points?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have a couple points, but mine are really small points. So.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, the one is really small. The second one, the bigger one is, I really had this feeling towards the end of the movie that we kind of took a left turn in the wrong direction. And believe it or not, it doesn't have anything to do with anything we've talked about already. So, like, I feel like they made a huge mistake with the progression of the film, because for, I'd say, 80% of the movie, hell, 95% of the movie, I was convinced that it was going to be a nice, like, put with a bow twist that Kylo Ren was going to be the rise of Skywalker. Because he is technically a Skywalker. And, like, and it just was going extremely well, okay?
Yeah.
And until it didn't, and then he, like, gave his life force to save Rey, and then kissed her for literally fucking no reason at all.
Oh, they've been there's been some tension going on between them this whole time.
But that's, like, and so, and this is where Ben Martindale would, like, magically appear on this call and start yelling at me. But, like, I really enjoyed how through three movies we had this strong female lead who was breaking all of, like, the campy traditional female tropes. Because, like,
I mean, Princess Leia already did that, but go on.
Except she didn't, because she was in love with her brother and in love with Han Solo.
Oh, she just kissed
him.
She just kissed him to make Han Solo jealous. But, like, she was very no one ever saw Princess
the whole
Leia
idea
as...
with traditional female leads, traditional female characters, is there's always a love interest involved.
Yeah. Okay,
like, it's
touche,
always,
touche,
like, love
yes,
stuff.
I will give you that.
And so, like, Rey really didn't have that. Like, there was that weird thing with Finn and stuff, but it was awkward and just kind of sloughed to the side, and that was fine. But then, like, when Kylo Ren starts saving her, I'm like, oh my god, if she fucking kisses him, and then, like, this is the new trilogy is, like,
her.
Them having babies or something. Like, I'm just gonna, like, oh my god. And luckily he died.
Now that's the opening right there. Luckily he
but
died.
Like, but, like, that was the closest I got to booing through the whole film, like, when she kissed him.
He kissed her! She was, like, alive, and she's like, oh man, I can't
believe
we're all alive.
It doesn't
and then
matter.
He kissed her, and then he died.
They had pretty good chemistry, I thought.
Yeah, they were building it up fairly well. I'm glad...
Doesn't matter.
Pat, to go along with you, I'm glad that at the end, she didn't all of a sudden, like, go to Finn and, like, let him kiss her. Because, one, it would have been weird that she kissed the guy who, right after, like, making out with Kylo, as if Finn
becomes
second
an
middle.
It like,
but like
gangbang train.
I was glad that like, like, oh yeah, well now that Kylo's dead, I guess Finn is all right. But like, I'm glad that instead it was just a big like hug between her and two friends. Like, I was very glad they didn't try to force a
now that
we're all alive. Yeah, we should get married and stuff. It's, you know,
it mirrored the scene from A New Hope after the
Yeah, you're right. Yep, with Leia and Luke and Han. So yeah, I was glad as well that they didn't force more romance down into our throats. What was the other point, Pat, that you wanted to say?
Real small one, and I know, like, I guess this doesn't actually exist because it didn't happen in the movie. but Richard at least will be happy to know that this part doesn't exist, that, Revan is now officially in the Star Wars
game. About this, yeah.
In the Star Wars Visual Dictionary that was released with the movie,
the Third Army of Revan or something.
They released the names of all of like the Sith Eternals, like the red Sith dudes.
Yep.
And one of the Legion names is called the Third Legion of Revan.
Yeah, the Third Revan Legion. Yep.
Something like that. Yep. Yeah. So it definitely opens the door. Not only canonizes Revan, but like opens the door for future things about him too.
It is weird that such a thing has managed to exist for over 1,000 years, but whatever. It's a nice nod, I guess.
Well, and like, I mean, so really serious question. Like, I mean, I'm not joking about this. Does it bother you guys more that, like, over the course of our 50-year history in Star Wars, or however long it's been, that we can't have like Palpatine character resolutions, you know, like the things that are unexplained or not fully explained? Or does it bother you more that holy shit, my mind just went blank,
that we get these weird cameo mentions?
No,
that was something with the Revan, or that we lose our Star Lore as more movies get made?
No. Oh my god. Like, am I like having a stroke or something?
Well, here,
like,
I'll answer your first thing with the resolution.
Be our most listened to episode ever.
It bothers me a little bit when things don't get explained like this, and I don't need it to be like a big exposition. I just kind of want it to at least be like, okay, yes, they established that this can happen in movies 6, 7, and 8 or something, and that now it makes sense that such a thing would happen like here. But like, it bothers me that they can't move on from the Empire and they can't move on from the same villain.
Right.
Like, I would like that.
I remember what I was going to say.
All right, good. I'm glad I knew that, so, if I kept talking, you'd remember.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Like, I seriously don't know what just happened. That was. So, does it bother you more, like, what Richard just said? Or does it bother you more that we are now on, like, the fourth name for the Sith homeworld and they are not the same planet?
Oh, no. Okay, yeah, that bothers me a lot. Korriban,
because, like, I feel like you guys got real fired up that we just didn't know where Palpatine came from, but we...
There was Malachor, there
right.
was
Moriban,
Moriban, and now there's Exegol.
Yeah, so
yeah, there's Senegal,
here's
home
the
planet
way
of
I
Babu.
I can try to piece this together and try to make sense out of it based on my own now expired knowledge from EU and the knowledge they're using now. So Korriban was the original name in the EU for the Sith homeworld. It was a very nice name. It had a nice hard K sound to make it sound rough because it was a rough world. And then they changed it to Moriban because George Lucas or somebody deemed it that's what they wanted. And so they changed it. Same world, though, just with an M. And then Malachor was always a world that was involved with the Mandalorian conquest that they blew up. And then it became sort of a Sith like subworld or something. I can't remember exactly because this was in Rebels and it was a really weird retcon thing that they did to it. And then this world, they made it as like I the way they phrased it, I didn't think it was a home world, but like a Sith like a Sith world, like not the world, but like another Sith world. I don't know. They
I felt like they said it was a legendary. Something legendary, something of the Sith.
Yeah.
I feel like that line was said.
It just felt like they've now muddied it so much that it's hard to tell which one they intend to be. And ultimately, at the same time, I'm thinking, I guess, do we even need a homeworld of the Sith now? I mean, like, if this is how confusing they're going to get with it, like, it's weird because I don't think worlds need to be so prestigious in this name thing. Like, it didn't need to have to be a Sith thing. It just could have been another world, and they could have made a mention of, like, used by the Sith or something. Like, it didn't have to be such a big deal, but
whatever. Well, yeah. So, and this is kind of my point, and this wraps up my thoughts, and I'll just respond to you guys from this point on. Like, is that with Santa Claus, right? Okay. Santa Claus, I'm sorry, kids who are listening to this, Santa Claus doesn't exist. Okay.
He's a state of
however, I'm willing to suspend my belief for the entertainment that is Santa Claus. And it doesn't really bother me arguing about whether Santa Claus can fit down chimneys and shit like that, okay? Because it's entertaining. However, it would bother the shit out of me if, like, there's this constantly changing narrative where like, one story goes, all right, Santa Claus is up at his home in the North Pole with all of his elves. And then the next story goes, all right, Santa Claus is down at the South Pole at his home with all of his seals.
Yes.
You know, and, like... Yeah.
I agree.
Like,
it comes back to the creative integrity argument.
Right. And that would bother me a lot more. And that's why I wanted to kind of make that point, is that, like, I feel like we all got really fired up over
the Palpatine thing.
Over, like, logical issues with the plot, which I think are valid.
Well,
right?
And I connect a little bit because some of the, like, changing the world names or doing stuff like that over and over again kind of feeds into the confusion we have with the logicalness.
Right.
Because we're like, okay, we thought we had this nailed down, and then you guys changed it, and now I'm a little confused about where we're at and what this means to the universe.
And I'm going to go, and I don't want to on this, but I'm going to go and say that this is George Lucas's because...
Lucas, sorry, you cut off for a second there.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is Lucas's fault. And
okay.
The reason being, so if you want to make quick comparisons as far as like lore, Lord of the Rings, there's an established lore. J.R.R. Tolkien established it. The places, the names, the characters, the history, it exists. And it is like the Amazon series coming forward, as far as I know, it's going to honor all of that.
Okay.
It's going to respect that as the canon lore and treat it as such. But now you've got Star Wars, where Lucas basically he pimped out Star Wars like a cheap penny prostitute during the 80s and 90s, yes. Where anybody that wanted to write for the EU could and write any fucking nonsense story they wanted to about whatever the fuck they wanted that didn't make any sense or that was terrible. And then that all of a sudden became canon. So you had all this lore. A lot of it was terrible. And so when Disney came in, I don't exactly blame them for just like taking the wide brush and saying all the
was non-canon, I get it,
yeah.
because a lot of it was terrible, and they didn't have the time or the resources or the interest to go comb through it and say, well, this is canon, this is not, blah, blah, blah. Like, but when now you've got this whole thing where it feels like there's no artistic integrity, and they're just reinventing things, reinventing the wheel for the sake of it, when really this is, I think this can trace back to Lucas not giving a shit about except only thing he cared about was making money off of more books and toys.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with your point. I kind of wish that, like, I think when Disney got this license, if they had combed, like, if they had picked, like, the top three or top four, like, favorite stories from the EU just to show good faith to the fans or something, I think they would have saved themselves some trouble later down the road.
They've done a little of it, right? Because Thrawn was in the EU, yes. and yep. so he was technically non-canon, and then they brought him back because they heard that the fans loved him.
Yes, correct.
So it's not like they've said that they're not willing to do it, but, you know... It muddies the waters.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's the problem that they have now, is that they're trying to bring in the few fan favorites from the EU while also trying to make it not the same stories, like their own stories. And it kind of, like, they're having a hard time blending the two into each other. But yeah, so my only other little points I just wanted to point out, the pacing of the movie, the cuts, like the scene transitions... were probably the worst I've ever seen in a movie, or a Star Wars movie, in terms of, like, 1 minute they're in the ship, 1 minute they're sneaking around, the next minute they're sneaking around the planet. And, like, it, like, again, with watching my mom, who's a very casual viewer, it confused the crap out of her. And, like, these transitions from scenes to scenes were very obvious that this movie went through, like a re-editing or reshoots or something, whatever you want to call it. Like, ultimately, again, this isn't a thing that's going to bother me, but it was very noticeable when it happened, and I don't know what to do with
it. It was very frenetic, right?
Yeah.
It's typical Abrams, because you guys have all seen the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, like, those things are paced like a person with cocaine editing yes. the film.
Yes.
So, like, this was even more so because J.J. had to fit two movies worth of plot into one film. Yep. So... like, I think that's why it was like that.
What do you think about the impossible choice that Palpatine makes in this movie? In terms of, you have to kill me, if you kill me, I'll become a Sith. But if you don't kill me, I'm going to just blow up and take over the galaxy again.
Well, he didn't know he was going to, like, rejuvenate himself through the dyad in the Force, which they never expounded upon.
Yeah, that was playing fast and loose with the Force again.
So, I mean, like, the implication was that he was depleted, right? That he was weak. So he wanted Rey to take his place because he was not fit to rule, because he was, like, barely alive.
Yeah.
That was what I saw it as.
So I saw the same thing, but I kind of wanted, like, that was an interesting... quandary to me. I thought that, like, hey, this is interesting that you, like, the Sith do so well, maybe, or Palpatine himself is such a good politician that you put himself, that he puts people into these things where, like, hey, you have to make a choice, both of them are terrible and not what you want, and that's the whole Sith trick, is like this illusion that you're backed into.
It wasn't as well done.
No, it
right?
wasn't, because and I wish that they had expanded because on it.
Well, that's the thing, like, this is why, and I hate to keep doing it, but Return of the did it better.
Yep.
Because the whole thing was, all right, strike down Vader, strike down your father, and you'll take his place at my side. And Luke chooses the pacifist approach. He doesn't do what the Emperor wants him to do. And in that, he sort of sacrifices himself, but then that Vader makes the choice to save him. In this, Rey chooses not to strike down Palpatine, but then Palpatine's like, all right, well, no. Then I'll just become Super Palpatine, and then Rey defeats him with the power of two swords.
Well, actually, she defeats him with Palpatine's own hatred, like, basically reflecting the lightning back.
I get the symbolism.
It was kind of rushed.
Leia's and Luke's sabers reflecting it back. I get the symbolism. I just felt that it wasn't as cleanly done as Return of the Jedi.
Ian,
Did you ever watch Return of the Jedi? Conclusion was so clean.
Did you ever watch the end of Vinland Saga?
Not yet, no.
Okay, never mind. I was going to say, because Vinland Saga has another impossible decision, and the way they handle it is equally glorious. But, so my other point was that with this kind of impossible choice, like, I thought that it was weird that all of a sudden, because it's a dark side option, or like because like, oh, killing is now a dark side thing, like, wasn't your goal before somebody tried to confuse you, wasn't your goal to kill Palpatine, to stop Palpatine? Like, when does it all of a sudden not, when does stopping him suddenly all of a sudden become like the evil choice? Because like, everyone was on board with this idea that we need to stop him to save the galaxy, but no, if you stop him now you're evil. Like, they, this is where like, I like, Star Wars and the dark side has never really been explained 100% to, like, I like, it feels like it's a drug, like that's what, like the way they've kind of project, like, like showed it. Well,
it's the corruption of power,
right?
Right. You use, you're using the force so, to your own selfish ends.
So, like, I don't understand why killing him suddenly is a selfish act of anger. It's, hey, I'm sorry that, like, I, like, they don't have to always keep asking him, hey, do you want to stop anytime soon now? Like, because otherwise I'm going to have to kill you, buddy. Like, isn't this...
I think they established that Rey's feelings were compromised because she was angry at Palpatine because of the revelation that he was her grandfather.
I guess, but I mean, is that really enough to stop her from, like...
It wasn't cleanly done.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, this was cleaner in Return of the Jedi. It wasn't accomplished as well here.
Yeah. That's my only thing. I want to say some good points as we end this, because I think that this, because there's, like, we've really, I feel like, bashed on this movie, and if people watch it or listening are thinking, like, how the hell did they rate this 6 and 7? This sounds like a 2 and 3.
I loved the movie. You guys are all full of shit.
I want to say, like the lack of most campy dialogue in this was extremely refreshing. There was a couple points in there, like Finn egging, or Poe egging Finn on about, like, what were we going to say? But they didn't linger on it so much. They didn't have bizarre, like...
Much better.
There was no real jokiness about it.
No slapstick humor.
Yeah, it didn't feel like they were trying to cram the Marvel formula into this movie as hard as they were in the second one.
That's not fair to Marvel.
No, it's not. It works for Marvel for the reasons I said, and the Patrick.
Well, I'm saying it's completely different. In Last Jedi, it was like slapstick child humor,
yeah.
And in this one, it was like much. It was written.
It was
better.
Focused a little bit more. I thought. Yes, the pacing was odd.
3PO kind of stole the show too.
Yeah, it was a little awkward with really funny. The thing. But I thought, yes, I thought it was very. I thought that was appropriate humor.
Like the scene where they like fall down and. Pits and like Poe is like, you know, Finn, Rey, 3PO is like, you didn't say my name, sir, but I'm okay. Yes. I was like, I laughed out loud to that.
I thought that was perfect. That's the kind of humor I was expecting from Star Wars. I thought that Rey's power fluctuation things was an interesting thing. I mean, a lot of it feels like sometimes I'm like, oh man, I wish they had done this more in the last movie, but like, I was fine with it. I was ultimately fine, and this is something my brother absolutely hated, and I was wondering if you were, what's your opinion? I was perfectly fine with her taking the Skywalker's name. I didn't groan. I sort of shrugged my shoulders and said, well, I mean, she's kind of unofficially adopted at this point. She was passed from Han to Luke to Leia, so I mean, I don't mind her taking and carrying on the Skywalker legacy, since she's basically trained up through them this whole time.
I didn't have a problem with it. I just felt like it was a little
on the nose, you say?
Like, yeah, I think it was a little, like, it was, this whole movie was kind of like a Saturday morning cartoon. So I felt like it was just a little campy for me. But creatively, I don't have a problem with it. So.
I was best friends with Ian in high school, and if I go around saying my last name Shaw, that would be weird.
Well, Ian's still alive, so you can't do that. You got to kill him first.
Okay, yeah. No, I've already extrapolated out my reasons as to why I hated it.
No,
like,
I
she should have either said Rey Palpatine or just said it's just Rey.
Do you really want to go around calling yourself the most hated Sith Lord and Emperor last name?
Yes, because the lesson I had to sit through for 90 minutes is that your name doesn't matter.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing. Yes. And here's and this is the cynic in me, is the only reason that she said like Skywalker is because they couldn't think of a name for the. So they did Rise of Skywalker, and there are so many mouth breathers in the movie theater that wouldn't understand it if it was about Ben Solo.
Well, because it seems like Rey hijacked Ben Solo's like moment at the end there. Like instead of Ben being like, when he rose up from the hole, I was like, I guess Rey is dead. And I was thinking like, oh man, so this is what it's about to be. Like, he's gonna do the thing he was supposed to have done, or is expected to do this whole time. And yeah, it's a little trite, but like, this is it. And then Ray, then he fails, and Ray is the one to do it. And I'm like, oh, this is disappointing. Like, I was kind of, you know, rooting for the guy.
Oh man. I just looked something up real quick because I had an idea, and this would have been such a better idea. So
hurry up, because I gotta go.
Yeah.
What she should have done, instead of saying Skywalker, she should have lit her lightsaber, which is yellow, and then said that her last name was Starkiller.
And we're done.
Because Luke Starkiller's, or whatever his name was, Starkiller's name or lightsaber was yellow in the concept art.
Also true. Didn't Lucas originally have like the name Starkiller for something? Or like
Starkiller was supposed to be the main character.
Yeah,
of the...
so that would have been an interesting nod. I think it would have been made me groan a little bit, but I think that it would have been, yes, an original name would have worked a little bit better maybe, but I didn't mind the Skywalker.
Right. Well, you guys can keep talking, but I have to go.
Yeah, I gotta go too.
All right, guys, then this is where we're gonna end it. Thank you guys for coming in. And yeah, I'm glad at least, I mean, it sounded like we really bashed this movie, but I think I do want to make it clear I did like this movie a hell of a lot more, and it did an admirable job finishing this trilogy up. So
hopefully,
I think Ian's the only one who really bashed the movie.
I didn't hate it. I liked it. It was fine, but I hope we're still talking about Star Wars in 10 years, because I have this unease about the franchise.
I look forward to the Obi-Wan series, which I kind of did beforehand, but now I actually feel like there's something to stand on in saying that. So anyway, guys, thank you again. Let's close this out. So if anyone has any questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, whatever you want to call it, you can email us at leagueofmediocregentlemen@otnmedia.org. there's also a Twitter. It's at the LOMG podcast. There is going to be a Discord link in the bottom below. There's also Twitch streams. There will be a link for that as well. Every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 p.m. But John and Joey record a Level Up podcast on Mondays at 8, so you can catch that as well. But yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. Thanks again. And from all of us here, you all have at least a mediocre rest of your day, and have a happy brand new year.